Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, sometimes 6:30, sometimes 8, sometimes 9:30, sometimes 11. Tonight we're having the show on at 9:30. And this show is committed to truth and facts. We're not interested in media falsehoods. We're not interested in the big lie. We're interested in truth and facts by the use of critical faculties. I want to say that this show generally has, to a certain extent, I have an MDiv from Prince Theological Seminary in Biblical and Classical Languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, and the emphasis on this show is in many respects theological or religious. This is a Christian show, and Christianity is featured as an element of the show. But other things I'm going to go into in the parameters of the show. But tonight I'm going to talk about something, one of the parables of the one of the parables of the pounds and talents. I'll tell you in a minute what it is about. Parables there are 41 of the parables in the Gospels, and many of them are quite fascinating and interesting. They're the words of Christ. And there's none I'm going to talk about tonight, I'm going to get into, is the parable of the talents, which is found in in Matthew 25, 14 to 30. And I'm going to a little bit go into this I'm going to get into it and kind of review what's in it and try to understand it. It has quite an involved strange of thought. But let me say that, first of all, this show has three parameters that concern me. The show is, I'm a great lover of the past literature, such as Tolstoy, War and Peace, Milton's Paradise Lost, Dante, whoever of the great thinkers of the past and the great writers of the past. These people interest me, and I think they're wonderful, and I'm very fascinated with them and value them greatly. It could be T.S. Eliot. It could be John Bunyan. It could be Bonhoeffer. It could be St. Augustine. Whoever it is, these are the people that I grasp and love as writers and thinkers. And that's an element of this show. Second, the show has a Christian emphasis, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, and also I adhere to the creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creed, and I adhere to the reading the great Christian books of the past, which I just indicated to you, St. Augustine's Confessions, the Epistles of Paul, are two examples. There are others, C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Bonhoeffer, Luther, Calvin, etc., all these other greats and the people that I value and look up to. Third, this show has a political element. I personally am conservative, but in a sense I oppose abortion and as killing, and I oppose gay marriage as against God's plan, but that doesn't mean these people are bad. It means that Jesus loves them and died for them, and he values all men and women, whatever their position in society, whatever their faith, he loves and values them all. And as he said in Timothy, aptly in the Epistle to Timothy, God wills that all men and women be saved, whether Hindu, whether Buddhist, whether Islam, whoever they are, he wills and wishes them to be with him in eternal life in heaven. Next, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go into my background in this show to understand where I am coming from. First of all, this is a politically incorrect show. We're not interested in political correctness. We're not in media lies. We're not interested in media falsehoods. We're not interested in the big lie. We're not interested in propaganda. We're interested in truth and facts gained through honest discernment and intellectual honesty. That is what this show is about and what we are concerned with in this show, getting at the truth and getting at the facts. We are not interested in media hype and media lies and political rhetoric that is essentially a lie, which serves to only mislead people and make fools of our population who do not get at the facts and truth, who rarely get at the facts and truth. To get that, you'll have to read some very great books to get at the facts and truth. You have to read some books, a lot of books, like War and Peace and Milton's Paradise Lost and T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society. These are the books you'll have to read to get at the facts and truth. These are some of the books you'll have to read. Next, I have two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. Both I have a Christian emphasis. I no longer do the podcast show, but I have stored over 4,300 podcasts, which are visited from people, 4,300 people from 80 countries. In addition, I have a blog talk radio show in which many, many countries in the world visit this show. Both are Christian shows and have a Christian emphasis. But as I said to you previously, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome all faiths, all ideas, all opinions, all races, all nations. I know that Jesus died for them and loves for them, and I do not reject them, though I disagree with them. I know that Jesus wants our Buddhist friends, our communist friends, our atheist friends, our Hindu friends, our Islamic friends. He wants them all to be with him in heaven, and he died for them and wishes that they be with him in eternal life in heaven and the joy of heaven. I know he wants this. He loves these people. He loves everybody, and the love is immeasurable and very great and cannot be understood by a mere mortal, limited human being such as myself, whose ability to love is quite limited as compared to God's love in Christ, which is huge and unbelievable. God's love in Christ encompasses the idea that he died because he loves all men and wants all men and women to be with him in the joy of heaven and eternal life. He wants everybody, meaning he loves all humanity. Whatever their faith, whatever their idea, whatever their opinion, he loves them all and wishes them to be with him in heaven. Next, these are Christian shows, as I said, and I welcome all faiths and ideas and opinions. I am also a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the Parables, and a book on the Psalms. The book on the Psalms is one of my most recent books. Let me say that the book on the Parables, to me, is very precious to me, because for me, the 41 parables in the Gospel are the words and mind of Christ and the Son of God. They bear constant reading and rereading. They bear understanding them because they challenge us so greatly in his thinking, which is beyond our mortal human thinking in any way, in any sense. So, as I said, I also wrote a book on the Psalms, analyzing all 150 Psalms. Psalms are great literary treasures of Jewish Hebrew lyric poetry. They were written by a very genius of a person 3,000 years ago. And they have endured to this day in their lyric and literary beauty. And they also have great ideas in them, theological concepts that challenge us in every way. The Psalms bear reading and rereading, constant reading, just like the parables. We bear constant reading and rereading. We can only understand the lyric beauty of the Psalms, their literary value, by reading them and reading them again and again. And also, we will only come to understand their thought content by reading them again and again. Their thought content is very deep and very profound. I urge you to read the parables, read the Psalms, and so follow up by reading these two books. I've written other books. I'm preparing to write a book on the blogs, my four blogs, which are in my website. I have written a book, a chapter in a book on paternity in New York Family Law and Practice. I've written a chapter in Bender's Consolidated Evidence entitled Res Gestae, which is concerned with the concepts of evidence in law. I've also written a chapter in New York Jurisprudence on criminal law demands and notices. And I've written three very extensive law review articles, one on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, which has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department and by many, many universities throughout the world. I've also written a book on a article on sexual orientation discrimination. I opposed it. I oppose any hate, any dislike. I may not agree with my gay brothers and friends, but I do not want them hated or in any way discriminated against or damaged as human beings. Jesus loves them. He wants them to be with him in heaven, and I want to be with my gay friends and Hindu friends and Islamic friends in heaven as Jesus wills us. Next, I also written an article on Academicus, a Albanian scientific journal, on the educational system in the United States and its failure. And again, these articles of Syracuse Law Review on Academicus, on sexual orientation discrimination, and on the educational system have had wide, wide circulation throughout the world and universities throughout the world. And also three of my articles, Essence of the Christian Worldview, Select Legal Topics, Volume 2, and Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy have been bought by many, many universities throughout the world. The sales have been quite extensive, and I'm about to market my other remaining two books, which are now available, which are entitled On the Parables and on Select Legal Topics. I wish to also market those two books more extensively and hope people will buy them. I'm going to market them, my book on the parables and my book on Select Legal Topics, Volume 1, and other books of mine, and the book on the Psalms. I'm going to market that more extensively, and hopefully more people will become aware and buy these books, because the content of the books, not that I am so great, but the content of the books on the Psalms and parables is so great that they bear understanding and rereading and repetition. Also, I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, which you will grow more tired of in your life, reading an English translation of the Psalms or reading an English translation of any other book. You will never tire. You will never grow tired of the English translation of the Psalms because of their intrinsic literary greatness. Now, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I wrote a book called The Parables of Jesus, a personal commentary, in which each of the parables are analyzed. And I'm going to talk to you about the parable of the talents, found in Matthew 25, 14, and 30. And Jesus said, "It will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug the ground and hid his master's money." And then the parable goes on to say, "After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and I have made 5 talents more.'" So this was kind of an investment situation. This servant made 5 talents more and told his master that. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master." And also he who had 2 talents came forward, saying, "Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more." And his master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master." So in the beginning of this parable is that the person who had the 5 talents invested it and increased it, and the person giving the 2 talents made 2 talents more. And the master says that, "Well done, you've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much." And he says that to the person who had the 2 talents. But he who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, "Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." So this third servant hid the talent and did nothing with it and returns it to the master. And the master answers him, "You wicked and faithful servant, you know that I reap where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." So he says, you should have invested this money and not just hid it. And then I should have, at my coming, I should have received this talent with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. And then he says, this is a very mysterious statement, "For everyone who has will more be given. He will have an abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness where men will weep and gnash their teeth. So I've recited the talent. This story is also found in Luke 19, 12 to 27. I'm not going to go over the contents of it. It's found in Matthew 25, 14 to 30, and Luke 12, 19, 20, 12 to 27. And I'm going to go over my interpretation of this parable, but tonight I'm just going to say, indicate to you, try to understand what Jesus is talking about. So he says, we are given this much by God. He gives us talents. And we have a responsibility, it seems to me, for making use of them. And if we don't make use of them, we will lose out. And he says, for everyone who has, that has increased his talents and used his talents, will more be given and he will have abundance. So he's saying the person who uses their talents that God has given them, he will get even more. But from him who has not made use of his talents, even what he has will be taken away. And he cast the worthless servant into hell where men will weep and gnash their teeth. So it's very significant that Jesus seems to say, we have a responsibility to make use of our talents that God has given us. And if we do not, we will gain more and have abundance. But if we have not made use of our talents, even what we have will be taken away and we will be condemned. It's a very harsh situation, but there seems to be some truth in it. That if we do not, Jesus says we have a responsibility to make use of the talents that God has given us. And if we do not fulfill that responsibility, if we do not act using our talents to increase and make the world a better place, then we will lose out. We will lose everything and be cast into hell. So not using our talents is a failure of moral failure, Jesus seems to say, that we have to deal with. If we don't make use of our talents, if we do make use of our talents, we will have an abundant and gain much and increase much. But if we do not make use of our talents, even what we have will be taken away and we will be condemned. This is a very harsh analysis, but it's a way of understanding. Jesus says, unless we make use of what God has given us and we have that responsibility, we don't fulfill that responsibility, we will be we will lose whatever we have and be condemned. It's a harsh situation. It's a difficult situation. It's difficult to understand. But Jesus is saying we've got to make use of what God has given us. And if we do not make use of it, we will lose out even what we have and be cast into hell. It's a horrible situation to say that if we don't make use of our talents, we will lose out. But that seems to be what Jesus is saying in this parable. If we don't make use of our talents that God has given us, if we don't fulfill our responsibility to the world and to our families and to others in making use of our talents, we will stand condemned. That is the seriousness of this, what is essentially a moral failure, not making use of our talents in the world. I'm going to go over the interpretation of this tomorrow night more extensively, but I hope you've seen the basic this evening, and I hope you will understand where Jesus is coming from and why he's making what is, it seems to be, a very harsh and difficult statement about not using our talents. But he says if we don't use our talents that we are given, we will lose out entirely and we will be condemned. We have a responsibility to make use of the talents God has given us. If we don't make use of that responsibility and fulfill it, we will lose out entirely. That is the essential importance of making use of the talents God has given us. We have a great responsibility. If we don't make use of our talents, we will lose out entirely and be condemned morally and physically to hell. It's a very harsh analysis, but that's what he says. Let's try to understand it, what he means by it. And I think you can understand what Jesus is saying here. If you're lazy, if you don't do nothing with your talents and abilities, you are going to lose out entirely. And it is a great moral failure not to do that. And not to do it, we stand condemned. He makes that statement. We stand condemned to hell. And there we be cast for not fulfilling the responsibility that God has given to us in giving us our talents. If we want to be lazy and sit at home all day and not work and not give anything to society, Jesus is saying that is bad. That is no good. He says it, and it's quite clear what he means by it. Good night.